two announcements I'd like to make while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6. One is, if you'll notice the center sections, the tape has been removed. I would like to ask for your help in this. We have left the side sections taped for those who feel that they need, because of health issues, to further social distance. But actually, we're having families that are coming in and not finding a place to sit on Sunday morning and then leaving. And we want that to stop. So what I need your help with is very much what you're doing today. If you feel strong and you feel like that there's not much of a threat for you, and you don't mind sitting on a pew with other people, sit in the center sections. Reserve the taped areas for those who have medical conditions that we know would benefit them to social distance a little more than what we rest of us feel like we need. Help us out on that, if you will, please, especially on Sunday. Second announcement I want to share with you is that maybe we need to pray for that little one that's out there in that hallway. Or either the worker that's trying to take care of them. No, actually, we're going to have a blood drive. One Blood has asked us, and we have put them off a month because of trying to open up and get back into a routine. But we're actually going to have a blood drive on October the 26th. It's going to be the regular scheduled time that we have done it before, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And there will be different slots out there in like 15-minute increments for people to be able to sign up for this. And there's been a question, is it possible for people who've had COVID to give blood? The answer to that is, not only is it possible, but it is asked for. They're asking for those who are survivors of COVID to please give blood and then possibly use your platelets to help someone else who has COVID to be able to overcome this. So if you have, we especially would love to have you sign up and be a part of this. But that's going to take place on a Monday night. It's October the 26th, the last Monday of the month. And it will be from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. The sign-up list is right out the double doors. You'll see it on the podium there. Blood drive, just put your name and your phone number down there. And we hope to have a full list before the blood drive takes place. Won't you turn in your Bibles with us, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We've been concentrating right here in Ephesians chapter 6, this section between verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter here now for several weeks. In so doing, we have looked at Paul's challenge to the church, knowing it is God's challenge to the church, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have found that there is a strength and there is a comfort. There is a power that God Himself has that you and I can tap into. And as we tap into that power, we would be able to have the strength that we need to overcome the devil. Paul not only told us to be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, but he also reminded us who the enemy is that in this spiritual battle that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the forces of Satan, then the demonic beings, as they are fighting against the angelic beings, and you and I are the battlefield. They are coming against us. They're coming against angels, and it is a spiritual warfare that's taking place. So Paul identifies our enemy that we especially need to be tuned into and we need to be careful of. And as he does this, he even goes so far to tell us about the armor of God that we have available to us. And he reminds us that this armor, although it is available, it requires us to use it. It's not going to do any good for a soldier to be able to leave his armor in the closet whenever he goes out to the battlefield. It's not going to do any good for a soldier to leave his weapon in the closet whenever he goes out to engage the enemy. We as Christian soldiers need to armor up every single day and find God supplying for you and me what we need in the spiritual battle. And of course, Remind me about this armor. What was the first thing there? Was the belt of truth. What did I share with you was that truth. Somebody say it was the revealed word of God. Thank you. I'm so proud of you for remembering. It was the revealed word of God. We take and we wrap that around our waist. What was the belt for the soldier to be able to have? It girded up his long robe. And there's no way he can be practical and be functioning in the battlefield when he's got stuff just literally catching all around his feet. So it tied up. The loose ends. And we said that the practical or the spiritual application was simply this, that we tie up all the spiritual ends of our life with the Word of God that prepares us for battle. Then we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness are we in? We're in Christ Jesus' righteousness, right? Doesn't the Bible say that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him, right? So we're in the righteousness of God. Even though we're in this because we're saved, it also reminds us that we need to apply the righteousness of God. Protect our heart. Protect our soul with the righteousness of God. To remind ourselves, we are children of God, and we are blessed and called to be saints and provided for. He goes even further, and he says that we're to have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's something significant about that I shared with you last week? Say it again. There were spikes on the bottom of it, very much like the cleats that the warriors wore. It won't give. It gives you a steady foothold, right? But what's significant about your feet being shod? What is it? Is it the gospel of peace? Somebody say no. It's not sharing the gospel. What is it? Having your feet shod with the, anybody want to say preparation? Preparation of the gospel of peace. That's it. That's it, to be prepared to share the gospel. In other words, he's saying when you're armoring up, get ready to encounter somebody that day with the gospel message. And whenever you're prepared for that, and when you're ready for that, whenever that opportunity comes, we are more likely to be successful in sharing the gospel than we are saying, oh man, I missed another opportunity. How many of you missed opportunities before? You knew God placed that person in your heart, in your life, and yet it came and it went, and you never told them a word about Jesus. Every one of us have been in that position, right? So therefore, when it says that shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace, is simply saying, get ready. Get ready to tell somebody about Jesus. So if you start out your day preparing, you know what, if I run into somebody that needs to hear about Jesus Christ, and I'm just beginning to go over, how would I enter into that conversation? How would I get involved in that? What would I share them? How would I tell them? And I gave you something last week that nobody could ever take away from you, and you don't have to be a theologian to use it. What was it? Say it again. Your testimony. Your testimony. Nobody can refute that. That happened to you. That happened to you. So you sharing your testimony helps you prepare for the gospel of peace. And then we also have the shield of faith. And knowing that shield of faith was able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. What is our faith? How important is this for you and for me? By the way, you know, the soldier never had a shield wondering if he would ever use it. The soldier always knew that shield was going to be very practical for him and it was going to be needed, and he never went out into battle without it. He knew that it was there. We are in a spiritual warfare. You and I need to have faith. And in that faith, we simply hold that shield and we hide behind that shield, and we are enabled to be able to be successful on the battlefield whenever the enemy is coming against us because of the faith itself that's in that shield. And then he also says that we take up the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet for? Protecting my head. Very good, very good. To remember that I'm saved. The helmet of salvation. Remember, he's talking to Christians, so he's not telling them they need to get saved. He said, just remember you are saved. Why do we need to remember we are saved? What's happening in this noggin up here? All of a sudden, crisis comes, having a bad day, all kind of things are taking place, so you get under attack and stuff like that. When Satan begins to come against you, it's easy for us to hit the panic button. Paul's saying, hey, remember that you're saved. Make decisions that reflect the fact that you are saved. Make decisions that reflect the fact you are a child of God. And therefore, as you are remembering that you're saved, you are protecting your head against the attacks of the enemies that comes. There would be not externally, but internally, remembering that the helmet of salvation is going to be very productive for me. And then he says not only the helmet of salvation, but he also says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What did I tell you about the sword of the Spirit? I hear somebody saying something, but I can't hear what you're saying. It is the only weapon of offense. The only weapon of offense. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The greatest warrior in all spiritual battle was Jesus Christ himself. And he, whenever he was tempted by the devil, he quoted scripture back to the devil. Is that because Satan didn't know the scripture? Not at all. Matter of fact, Satan quoted scripture to Jesus in the middle of the temptation. But Jesus correctly used it and correctly applied it and correctly gave it back to him as the evidence of why he would not succumb to temptation. Because that in itself is what God gave us to use against our adversary. So we have the armor. Now, tonight, Paul shares with us how to use the armor. Are you ready to go into some hand-to-hand combat in the spiritual realm? You want to know how to use it? Is anybody besides Chuck that want to know how to use it? All right, here we go. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul simply tells us the key to the armor of God that activates its power is prayer. It's prayer. Tonight what I've done, I took verse 18. That's going to be the bulk of our study, and I've took it and broke it down word by word. And simply every part of this has a major application for each one of us. The first two words he says there in verse 18 is praying always. In other words, praying whenever things are going good, praying when things are going bad. I need to be constantly involved in prayer and communicating with God. What is prayer? Praying always is simply talking to God. It's that fellowship that comes with God. It's that communication that takes place with him. And as I'm doing this, he said, I need to be doing this all the time. Now, is there anybody here that prays all the time? No? I would assume that you're probably like me, that we get busy. Things are happening. After we're face to face with a wall of conflict in front of us or something that inflicts pain or something like that on us, then in a little while we begin to remember, oh yeah, I need to pray. Oh yeah, I need to pray. Here, the Word of God emphasizes over and over again, and I just picked four of these verses because it speaks to this, but there were several more that would do the same thing. For time's sake, I just chose these four. Luke 18, verse 1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that right there in the Gospel of Luke there, he's simply saying this ought to be a pattern for you and for me, that we would always pray and not lose heart. How many of us lose heart from time to time? How many of you lost heart this week? Anybody lost heart today? I did. I got frustrated today. I just had to get out and go for a walk. I'm just some things are happening, and I'm having a hard time comprehending why this has got to be that way. I want to have a come to Jesus with somebody and just try to get some things straightened out. And by the way, it's not a church member. You can come. It's not a church member. You can calm down on that. It's not you. but you know, it's easy for me to get in the flesh just like it is for you to get in the flesh. And we lose heart. Jesus said, we ought to always pray, and that way we won't lose heart. What happens when I'm praying, when I'm having fellowship and I'm communicating with God? Even when I'm pouring my heart out before Him, can I get angry with God? Can I get angry over the circumstances and begin to tell God about it? Absolutely, I can do that. Absolutely. He welcomes that, because that's where I get to be the most transparent for Him, when I'm being honest with Him. Tell me, does God know when I'm upset? God and most of the rest of Wakulla County? Of course He knows when we're upset. But to pray always gives us an escape from losing heart. In other words, when we take that time and we go running to God like a little child does whenever he falls and gets hurt, he goes running to his daddy, mama. He's got his arms lifted up and he's just crying and crying. And mama and daddy pick him up and they begin to love on him. And as they begin to love on him, then all of a sudden the fear begins to settle down. The pain begins to subside. And there in the comfort of his father or mother's arms, the faint heart begins to disappear. Can I tell you that's exactly what God wants for us? God never wants us to lose heart. Even though He knows that that's going to happen. That's why He gives us the armor. That's why He tells us to be strong in the Lord. That's why He tells us that we need to pray always. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now the idea of being patient in tribulation, there's nobody enjoys that. However, that's what we're called to do. And we can do that when we're continuing steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Here, Paul writes to the Colossian church and he said, man, you need to be constantly praying. And as you're constantly praying, you're being vigilant in it. In other words, you're being aggressive in your prayer. Wait a minute, I'm not sure I can be aggressive. I need to bow before God. I need to be humble before God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, sometimes you just need to just rear back and let it fly before God. And as we just bear our heart and bear our soul before God, God begins to heal the hurt and He begins to heal the emotion and stuff that's going on inside of us. Whenever you and I are open enough, instead of going before God, God, it's been a bad day. Yeah, I know you know it, and I'm trying to keep my mouth closed and I'm trying to behave. And God, I'm trying not to let my thoughts run this way and that way. Am I really being honest with God there? No. God, I can't believe this is happening. God, I can't believe this is going on. God, I know you know this. I'm not saying that this is on you, but God, I'm just over my head. God, I'm drowning here. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that? Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Maybe if we spent more time thanking God for the problem that we have, knowing that God's going to supply the answer, we would be more ready for the answer to be able to come. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice in the Lord, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. To pray without ceasing, does that mean I need to get down on my hands and knees? And I just need to bow constantly and never be able to get up? No, as a matter of fact, I really would appreciate you not taking that prayer posture while you're driving. Okay? But to pray without ceasing means that you stay in a continual state of prayer. In other words, it's like you being at home with your spouse. Do you have to go in there and introduce yourself every time? Hey, honey, it's me. You know, the one you married 41 and a half years ago. You do, Lee? Okay. No, we just continue the conversation. We just continue it on. That's what it means to pray without ceasing, to continue on in conversation with God. And as we continue on with conversation, God, and something is going on out there, God, thank you for that. I know you're the one that supplied that. God, thank you for doing that. Well, I'm not going to say that. Pray without ceasing means that I'm constantly in open communication with the Lord. He says to pray always with all prayer. The act of talking to God, communing with Him, laying my needs out there with all prayer basically is a generic term that encompasses all types of prayer. So when Paul says pray always with all prayer, he's just simply addressing that you and I ought to always be communicating with God, just like he's already stated there, but with all prayer, meaning that every form of prayer that I can think of. What are some different forms of prayer? Prayer, praying and asking God for my needs. Prayer, worshiping God. Is that not a prayer? Yes, it is. Whenever we're worshiping God, when we're singing, we could be singing a prayer before God. Making, and we'll look at the supplication in just a few moments, but making those specific needs before God. Or time where we're just broken and we're crying before God and just weeping before God. Have you ever got down on your face and your hands and your knees and just wept before God? That's prayer. That's a worship experience. So simply he's saying in all of these things wrapped up in one, stay in communication with God regardless of what the circumstances are. And then he says with supplication. The word supplication implies me giving a specific need before God based upon the urgency of the moment and me also coming with an expectation before God. Where in the Bible does it tell us that we need to come with expectation before God? Doesn't it tell us to come boldly before the throne of grace and there find grace and mercy to help in the time of need? Doesn't the Bible tell us that? Yes, it does. Does that mean that we come boldly, that we're coming arrogantly before God? No, it's not. But what it does mean is we come with an assurance of knowing, as I ask, I know God is going to supply. As I ask, I know God is going to deliver. And so through that supplication, I am really intense about this. It is something that is causing me to do without. It's something that's causing me to hurt. God, I need you. I need you. God, I need you to take care of this. God, please take care of that. God, you know this is happening with a family member of mine. God, you know this is happening in my life. God, you know this is happening in my child's life. God, I need you. That's what supplication is. And in that supplication, he simply tells us that we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, Paul has just got finished talking to the Philippian church about that we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. In other words, you have a spirit of joy knowing that God himself is going to take care of everything. Let your witness be effective out there. You be faithful to make sure people know you are a follower and a disciple of Christ. And then he said, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. But instead of worry, by prayer, in other words, general prayer, worship prayer, and supplication, making my needs there with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And what is the benefit of doing that? He said, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the supplication coming again with thanksgiving. Thanking God for the answer that we wait for, even though we don't have it yet. We're standing on faith that it's going to come, so we thank him. I like what the writer of Hebrews said about supplication. He said, who in the days of his flesh, by the way, this is talking about Hezekiah here, King Hezekiah. He said, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications, watch this, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Did Hezekiah get upset while he was praying? The way I read that, he got pretty emotional. Vehement cries and tears. He was broken. But he knew that God was going to be the one to deliver him from death. And he knew that godly fear, that reverence, and that worshipful spirit that he would come with, that would get him an audience with Almighty God. So the writer of Hebrews shares the intensity of the prayer of supplication. Then he says, not only we pray always with all prayer and supplication, but he says, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now here's where some things get a little hairy for some people. I'm going to tell you, being in the Spirit means that I am agreeing with the Holy Spirit of God as to what the will of God is for my life. I may not know that. I may not know what it is. But I'm simply agreeing with God that God knows that will, and God will impart that will to me, and God will lead me into the middle of that will, even if it's a difficult time, even if it is a trial or storm, God's will carry us through that. That's what it means to agree with the Spirit of God according to the will of God in your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are some denominations that will look at this and say this is what it's describing as in speaking in tongues. I want you to know that that's not at all what this is saying. That verse tells me that's not at all what it's saying, simply because of what it says here. But the Spirit himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, I can't utter that. Speaking in tongues, by very definition, is me uttering something. And this is saying this goes far beyond. So what is the Spirit of God doing while I'm praying? The Spirit of God stands in between me and the Heavenly Father. The Spirit of God knows what the will of God is. The Spirit of God knows what my heartache is. And the Spirit of God is taking my prayer and interpreting it in a way that it comes before the throne of God, making God get glory for that and beseeching God's help to be able to minister to me. The Spirit of God covers me in our prayer. The Bible tells us that sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for. Can I get a witness on that? Has there anybody been in that place before? Don't know what to pray for. But it said the Holy Spirit is right there in between you. You know, we know where God the Father is, right? He's on his throne in heaven. We know where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's the Holy Spirit at? He's right here. He's right inside of every born-again believer, and he is interpreting our genuine need before a heavenly Father whenever you and I will come and pray. He is there. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. Call for the Spirit to begin to work in your heart. Call for the Spirit to begin to move in your life. Call for the Spirit of God to help you and be that comforter. Matter of fact, he says he is a comforter. In other words, he comes alongside and helps carry your burden with you and me. So praying in the Spirit means that I am seeking the third part of the Trinity of Almighty God to meet me where I'm at and help carry me where I need to be. To pray in the Spirit also is defined in Jude 1:20, where it says, but you, beloved, building up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the more I pray in the Spirit, the more I am strengthening my faith, the more I am fortifying my heart and making it strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The more I am praying and more I want to be like Christ, the more the Holy Spirit works with me and works with you to accomplish that very purpose. That's praying in the Spirit. That's praying in the Spirit. Matter of fact, what did Jesus tell the woman at the well about worship? He said, there's going to come a day where those who worship God are going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit and truth. So ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, if I'm not praying in the Spirit, if I'm not coming through the Holy Spirit, my prayers aren't getting off of this side of this roof up here. That's just quite genuine. Brokenness, genuineness, heartfelt prayers are going to be ones where you and I are seeking the Holy Spirit to assist us as we call out before our God. He goes on even further, and he says, not only we pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, but being watchful to this end. To be watchful for this end simply means that I need to remember. What did Paul say back here? That I am not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, I am in a spiritual battle. He said, remember that. Remember that. Tell me something. If you are in a spiritual battle, are you going to go lay down on a battlefield and go to sleep? Huh? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? You ever seen a soldier just curl up? I mean, I've seen many movies. I've never actually been on a battlefield, but I've seen many movies with people in a foxhole. I promise you, they wasn't sleeping in that foxhole. Not unless the night got quiet, but they would be most vigilant and they're being alert as to where the enemy is and the things that are going on. You and I, in a spiritual battle, we don't need to be sleeping on a job. We need to literally be alert that we have an enemy that is out there that wants to come. And you remember what he said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan wants to have you so he can sift you like wheat. In other words, he wants to be able to destroy you. He wants to pulverize you. That same enemy that Peter had is the same enemy that you and I have, and the same Jesus that we want to live for is telling us the same thing. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. And he said, be watchful to this end. It's you and I just simply praying for the will of God to be accomplished in our life, and God protecting us from the enemy, and God just simply allowing us to be empowered by his power and strength, being armored up as we move out, being watchful as a diligent soldier of the cross. In so doing, the word also says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, where Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When did Jesus say that? When did Jesus say that? The night before he was crucified. The night before he's crucified, as he's going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells his disciples, he leaves some of them at the gate, he takes three of them in the garden with him, and he tells them this, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What did he find his disciples doing when he came back after praying for about an hour? What did Jesus do? He told them again, watch and pray, watch and pray. He went off and he came back. What did he find his disciples doing? He knew the hour was late. He knew it had been a long day. You're into the wee hours of the morning by this time. Jesus is earnestly praying, so much so that he's sweating drops of blood. And he is not worried about himself. He is worried about his disciples because he knows what they're fixing to encounter. And he tells them to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Is that a message that needs to go out to Christians today? Absolutely. Is that a message that needs to be echoed out throughout our own country right now, and especially in this time that we're dealing with? Watch and pray. Do we need to hear that? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. Also in Luke 21, verse 36, he said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Here, as Jesus speaks in Luke 21, he also tells them to watch and pray, but he tells them this. He said, watch and pray so you'll be counted worthy to escape. Matter of fact, not the things that might take place. Right? Read that. Read that word for word. Be counted worthy to escape all those things that will come to pass. You're fisting to go in the fire. Watch and pray. You're fisting to go through a trial. Watch and pray. Your heart's about to be broken. Watch and pray. These things will come to pass. But you want to be counted worthy to escape from those things, and that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man at the end of the journey. Because you watched and you prayed. You watched and you prayed. He closes verse 18 by simply saying, with all perseverance and supplication. We've kind of covered that already, but just simply to continue with intense effort to pray. In other words, that we be genuine, we be serious about this, we watch, we pray, we simply make our request known before God. We're praying constantly. And then he said, we do this for all the saints. In other words, saints not being those who are perfect, but those who are followers of Christ, devout in their faith, who love God in the midst of trials, in the midst of a turmoil, in the midst of a spiritual warfare. Those are the saints of God. Those who love him and are wanting to serve him. And he tells him, he said, you want to use the armor? Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Paul's saying, I need you to pray for every brother and sister in Christ. But then he gets real specific in verse 19, and he says this, for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So wait a minute, Paul, I thought that's what you were called to do. That's exactly what he was called to do, right? To go and to be an apostle, to be able to take that message out and carry it and deliver it to a lost and dying world. But remember, where's Paul writing from here? He's in prison. It's the very message and the very strategy that he's had preaching the gospel that has landed him in prison. But do you see what he's doing? He said, I know that by my preaching boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, I wound up in prison, but I'm asking you to ask God to help me continue to preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though it may keep me in prison. Paul's not looking at prison as being a way of being defeated from his ministry. Paul's looking at prison as a way to simply advance the kingdom of God. What did Paul get to do because he was a prisoner? He got to preach before kings and governors and witness and share the gospel to dignitaries that he wouldn't have had a chance to do had he not been a prisoner, had he not been abused, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, snake bitten, had he not had all those things happen to him, he would have never been able to go before Caesar. But he did. So in his prayer, he says, I want you to pray always with all kind of prayer and supplication of being watchful in the Spirit. I want you to do all these things here. But as for me, you pray for God to continue to give me boldness to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. In other words, he goes on and he finishes out in verse 20. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, he said, pray that God will help me continue to do my ministry in spite of these chains. In spite of these chains. Pray that God will help me to do what I am called to do. Pray that God will help me to be the apostle that he has ordained and sent out. That's what he prays. That's what he prays. How many of us would ask God to continue to give us boldness when we knew that the boldness is what got us in prison to begin with? Would we do that? God, I know your call on my life. God, I know the gospel. I know it's landing me right here in jail. But God, help me to continue to be bold. Help me not to stray to the right or to the left. Help me to proclaim your word, your message, your truth. Help me not to back up. Help me not to slow up. Help me not to shut up, but help me to keep going constantly with the gospel regardless of the circumstances. That's what he's praying. That's what he's asking the church to pray. God, do that. Do that. I would say that that would pretty well means he is an effective warrior for Christ, wouldn't it not? Prayer is the power switch. Prayer is the power switch to the armor of God. And it is the avenue that carries us into the power and the strength that the Lord provides. Prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Right now, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what you have dealt with today. But I believe that just in the context of this passage of Scripture, this is something that every one of us can make application in our own life with. So right now, I'm going to ask you where you are, just build an altar in your heart. And bow before God right now. You take a few minutes. And you pray and you activate the armor of God. You not only put it on, but you become equipped with it. And you pray. And always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit tonight, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we do come through your Spirit. God, we bow before your throne. And God, we ask right now that God, you would, through the Holy Spirit, equip us with this armor. And God, you'd help us to activate that strength and that power by communing with you and fellowshipping with you through our prayer. And Father, we would long to have fellowship with you. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst for a communication with you. God, not only where we are asking, but God, where we're listening. And Father, in your strength, we would be suited for battle. Father, I know the more that we proclaim this truth, the more the battle intensifies. Just to prove whether or not we are really soldiers of yours. And God, as we sometimes are broken and frustrated and hurting, Lord, we do pray that you would strengthen us, love on us, bind our wounds, heal our heart, take us forward. May we, like Paul, also pray for your boldness to share the gospel, for you to give us words to say, for you to give us a message to proclaim. God, we could do what you've called us to do. Be that ambassador to a lost and dying world. Father, I believe that that's what you want to do because that's what's in your word. So, Father, take us as we offer ourselves to you to be able to use. Make much of your glory through our life. In Christ's name we pray. The church says, Amen.